Well, today marks the end of my opening series with you. It's been a four-week journey. In week one, we talked about us being a good news people, sharing the good news of what God is doing in our midst here with one another. And as we become more confident doing that, sharing the good news with those outside these church walls as well. And it was my hope that as we share the good news of what God is doing daily in our lives, that we would have a growing sense of holy expectation of what God might do in our midst as we gather to worship on a Sunday. And then in week two, I talked about us being a pilgrim people, a people whose heart is set on following God wherever it is that He is leading us, that our hearts would be set on pilgrimage. Then in week three, we talked about being the body of Christ, that the body of Christ flourishes most when every part of the body is working as it should. And so I said that we should all contribute in some way to community. We all have gifts to share, and that each of us should be doing everything that we are called to do by God, and no one should be doing anything that they aren't called to do by God. In that way, hopefully we will work into our calling in the areas that we are passionate about, and when we work into those areas of passion, we usually find that the body of Christ flourishes. Now, the theme for today was actually set over a month ago, and yet I was watching the news last night and I realized, watching what is happening in Syria, watching what is happening in Egypt, and even watching some of the things that are happening closer to home, I just realized once more what an important topic it is, and that is the topic of conflict. Now, the reason I wanted to raise this early on in my ministry with you is because as a diverse community of people journeying together, there is always the possibility that we will experience some conflict along the way, that we might either have an issue that we come into conflict with, we might have personality clashes, or just as we walk together on the way that we might end up treading on one another's toes a little bit. And so I have seen churches do conflict well in the past, and I have also seen conflict done badly in church circles. So today, as I start in week four amongst you, I wanted to raise this whole issue of conflict. Largely, I wanted to do it early on because I figure that we don't have any conflict yet, right? That I'm still in the honeymoon phase of being the vicar. You all still think I am wonderful. And so even though there is the possibility that we might have conflict down the track, I thought it would be a good idea for us to lay out the ground rules early on. So conflict, there are two basic human responses. Sometimes they are described as fight or flight, but the basic human responses to conflict are this. One is we might term an aggressive approach to conflict. It's an approach that sees conflict as something to be won. You know, you have a view, I have a view, and conflict is resolved when you come around to my way of thinking. On the other hand, there is a phrase that we might term, there is a form of relating to conflict that we might call passive-aggressive. That is, conflict is something to be avoided. It makes us feel uncomfortable. It's not very nice, and perhaps we might even think that it's not very Christian. The trouble is that when we avoid conflict, the issue still doesn't go away. It just gets stuffed down somewhat. And while it might keep a thin veneer of good relationships, what usually ends up happening in church circles is that those conflicts find unhelpful ways of being expressed within a community. Instead of going to the person with whom we are having an issue, we tend to avoid that person and talk to everyone else about the issue instead. We kind of tend to go behind people's backs, or maybe even begin to undermine someone within our community. So that, of course, is unhelpful when God is trying to lead us forward together. So what I want to suggest today is that we commit to more of a central path. And it's a way that I'll call committing our way to being peacemakers within this community. It means not avoiding the issue, but going directly to the person with whom we have an issue. But when we engage with the issue, we do so in a way out of gentleness and respect for that person. It's amazing how easily conflicts can be resolved when people realize that they are more important to us than the issue with which we are having a conflict. And so it's my hope that as a community, as we commit to being peacemakers within this community, that we will not only see issues being resolved well, but we would see our relationship together growing. I want to illustrate that somewhat with some experience in church life that I've had with this issue. See, before I became a Christian, I would have what you would call an aggressive approach to conflict. It was so aggressive that I would even get to the stage of being physically aggressive at times. Now, obviously, when I became a Christian, I realized that's not the best way to be, and so I tended to go all the way to the other end of the spectrum and try to avoid conflict wherever possible, because I didn't want to end up in a position where I became really angry and became aggressive with people. However, as I grew in leadership within the church, I realized that conflict needs to be engaged with and addressed. And in fact, it's that old proverb says, a stitch in time saves nine. If we can nip conflict in the bud, it saves so much hassle down the track. It means that conflict doesn't grow and blossom and become so much harder to manage. And so when I was at All Saints in Hititai, I started to become a leader in that community, and people would often come to me asking me to help resolve issues within that community. And I've got to tell you, trying to resolve conflict is uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable to go to someone and say, hey, look, can we sit down and have a talk about this, because I'm really feeling this way about it and I want to hear what you think and I want us to resolve what I feel is an issue between us. That is not an easy way to start a conversation. However, the more I did it, the easier I found it to engage people in this area of conflict. And I began to become quite well known within our church community as someone who is good at resolving conflict. There was kind of a running joke amongst the All Saints community that if Ben asks you out for a coffee, it's not a good thing. Usually it means that I feel the need to sit you down and say something like, hey, last Sunday I just noticed that, you know, whatever the issue was. But people knew that I would be straight up with them. People knew that they never had to guess about whether there was an issue of conflict with me, that I would raise the issue. And more than that, when I raised the issue, I would do so out of a sense of love and respect for the person that I felt in conflict with. So people could joke about it because they knew that when I raised the issues with them, I would do it in a way that was really caring of them, that I would listen to what they had to say, and that my goal would be to resolve conflict in a way that we could move forward together. So I always thought that I was pretty good at conflict. Therefore, it was some surprise to me that when I was on my preordination retreat before I became a priest, that God put his finger upon this whole issue of conflict in my life and ministry. And I remember sitting there on my bed in prayer, thinking about that and responding to God in some way like this. God, thou art my God, and I realize that thou know everything, but perhaps in this area, you may be wrong. And God was still for a moment, but then came back to me, and I felt the names of two young men in my community spring to mind. And I thought to myself, oh. Now, these two young men were two guys that I'd spent a lot of time with, that I'd done a lot of ministry with, that I'd been good friends with. But each of them had said or done things that I found really difficult to deal with. I found myself feeling really disappointed with them. And as I felt disappointment, I felt like I began to lose respect for them. And as I began to lose respect for them, I found it really hard to love them. And as I reflected on this a little bit more, I realized that consciously or unconsciously, I'd been putting some distance between them and me. That I'd just been avoiding them in some ways, looking not to spend time with them, looking not to be around them so much, because I found this whole issue difficult. However, I wasn't giving up without a fight, so my response to God was, ah, yes, those two. Well, God, you know what they did. You know what they said. And you will have seen that I sent an email to each of them asking if they wanted to catch up for lunch, and I didn't hear anything back. I'm pretty sure you will have noticed that I sent a text to at least one of them saying, hey, let's catch up sometime, and got nothing back. So God, I have built a bridge. And if they're not prepared to come and meet me halfway, well then, what can I do, right? And I sat back on my bed, secure in my own righteousness, and God was silent. Now at this point, let me give a theological reflection that just because God is silent, it doesn't mean that you have won. And so as I sat there in prayer, I felt God bring an image to mind. And that was the image of Jesus on the cross. And what I realized as I reflected on this image is that once I was in conflict with God, once I was a long, long way off and separated from God through a massive gulf of my sin, I needed to be reconciled with God. And yet God didn't build a bridge and expect me to meet him halfway through my good deeds or good behavior or the right words. God came to me all the way out of love through Jesus Christ. God so loved me, God so loved you, that he gave his only son that each of us might be reconciled with him. While we were still sinners, while we were still far off, God came all the way to us. And we only love God in response because he first loved us. So I sat on my bed feeling quite gutted. I sat on my bed recognizing that even though I had experienced God's work of reconciliation in my life, that I wasn't prepared to go to these two young guys and try and be reconciled to them. Even though I had experienced the love and grace of God in my life, I was withholding love and grace from these two young men. That even though God had come all the way to be reconciled to me, I was only prepared to go halfway for these two young men. Each week in church on a Sunday, we do a practice called sharing the peace, and it reflects our gospel reading today. That before we come and celebrate our reconciliation with God at the communion table, that we take some time first to be reconciled to one another. And you know, we go and we shake hands, give someone a hug, and we say, "Peace be with you." And it's a symbolic gesture, but underneath it lies a huge amount of meaning. And I wonder if, as I have spoken today, whether you can think of people within this church community that you feel the need to be reconciled with, that perhaps you just don't get on with, that perhaps there is some issue between you. And so I'd ask you this week to spend some time in prayer. And if you feel you can, to go and start that difficult conversation with that person. To invite them out for a coffee. To invite them round for lunch. To go and start the difficult conversation with the words, "Hey, I wondered if we could just talk about whatever it is the issue is." It may also be that as I've spoken, you guys have thought about people outside of this church community. That you have friends, or family, or workmates, who you realize that you need to be reconciled with. In which case, again, I would say, please spend some time in prayer. Ask God for the grace to forgive, and if possible, go and be reconciled to that person. It is my call today and my hope that as a community here in this place, we might all be peacemakers in the name of Jesus. So I wonder if we could finish with a prayer that will be known to most of you, I'm sure. On the day I was installed here as the vicar, Prue Griffin, some of you will know, she's a lovely layperson in the parish of Crawley, sent me a card, and in the card was the peace prayer of St. Francis. And so I thought maybe we could finish with that this morning. So let us pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.